A pastor in Florida finds the Quran guilty and burns it. As a result, more than 20 people are dead in Afghanistan. Was this a bold prophetic act or an unwise, foolish move? We'll take it up today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So a pastor with a very small congregation in Florida burns a Quran. He was going to do it last year, ends up doing it this year, burns a Quran, doesn't get the media attention that it was getting last year, but the word does get out. There are riots in Afghanistan, more than 20 people killed, close to a dozen UN workers killed, butchered. Was this a bold prophetic move, a man willing to confront Islam, a man willing to expose the Quran as a false word, as a false prophetic document? Or was this foolish? Was this unwise? Did he unnecessarily endanger people and drive people away from Jesus? Michael Brown, live from the WMCA studios in New Jersey. My joy as a New Yorker to be back in the New York area this week. It's a delight to be with you. So here's my question. Here's my question for you. Was this a wise thing, something bold, prophetic, that the Lord could have led this person to do? Or was this unwise, unnecessary provocation? 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or join in the discussion already taking place on this very subject in our Facebook community. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. I'm going to be talking a little bit later in the program about other forms of intolerance and bigotry. But before we get into this particular subject, the burning of the Quran, I just want to touch briefly on something very important that has just happened. It's hit the world news over the weekend. A South African Jewish judge, an international judge, Judge Goldstone, issued a report last year condemning Israel's war on Gaza, Operation Cast Lead, war on Hamas in Gaza, after being bombed, more than 7,000, some would say as many as 10,000 rockets falling on Israeli citizens, putting terror in the hearts of people, casualties, deaths. After years of attacks, Israel finally says, we're going to fight back. They did everything they could to preserve civilian life as an army, and they went after the terrorists. Goldstone wrote this report for the UN that found Israel guilty of human rights violations, guilty of targeting citizens, as if Hamas was fine, and Israel somehow is the guilty party. It's absolutely bizarre to think of this, but somehow Israel comes out as the guilty party. Okay, Goldstone has now reversed his report and said he was wrong, he was mistaken. Actually, Israel did what it could to not target civilians, and Hamas is the guilty party. Okay, to his credit, he is renouncing his earlier report. To his credit, he's saying he got it wrong. But here's what I'm trying to figure out. I had enough information right here. Sitting in America, living in North Carolina, just knowing the Israeli army, knowing some of the information that was out there, not insider information in massive detail, some firsthand reports of from people that were fighting there and what their attitude was and what they were trying to do to preserve life and so on. But for the most part, it's just knowing the same facts that were available to you. How did he get this so wrong the first time around? That's what I'm wondering about. Yeah, I'm glad he's renouncing it. And yes, let him renounce it to the UN. And yes, let the UN, in the words of Netanyahu, cast this thing into the dustbin of history so it's forgotten. It's a bogus, biased report that just fuels more anti-Semitism, Jew hatred, anti-Israel, anti-Zionist sentiments around the world. But how? This is what I'm perplexed about. This is an international judge, a man of stature, commissioned with getting the facts right, and he got them all wrong. How does that happen? Back with your calls on the burning of the Quran right here.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking about the pastor's burning of the Quran last week in Florida that has now produced outrage in Afghanistan, Muslim riots. Some reports in Afghanistan said that many Qurans were burned. In any case, the fires got burning, fires of rage, anger. There was even an effigy of President Obama that was burned. You think, what in the world does he have to do with the burning of the Quran? But an effigy of the president was burned. There's anti-American rage. There's anti-Christian rage. UN workers killed. There's even riots where other Muslims were killed. It seems that this is just an irresponsible act by the pastor, and probably many of you will feel that way. But let's look at the other side first. 866-34-TRUTH. As always, our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire, and you can get into discussion there. We always have further relevant links there as well. Let's look at the other side. Let me first say we are not judging the pastor's motives. That is not our job. We're not sitting here judging his motives or speculating, did God tell him, not tell him? We are asking, from our perspective, was this an unwise, foolish act that endangered lives and drives people away from Jesus and makes Christians look a certain way? Or perhaps, let's look at it the other way, all right? I always try to give both sides to get us thinking here on The Line of Fire. And I will come down with my own view and let you hear it before the broadcast is over. But doesn't someone have to stand up against Islam? Doesn't someone have to say the Quran is false? Doesn't someone have to say Muhammad is a false prophet and this alleged holy book is leading people astray? Doesn't someone have to say, I'm not afraid and I'm not going to bow down to this? Aren't we guilty of doing that? I mean, look, you go into Saudi Arabia and we've got to bow down to all of their restrictions and you know, our troops not having Bibles and just, you name it, there are all these negative things that come our way because we have to bow down to Islam and be politically correct here in America and use the right terms because we don't want to offend. Maybe this pastor just had the guts to stand up and do what was right and expose this. Or is this just an unnecessary provocation? This is not ancient Israel going into the land of Canaan, tearing down their idols. This is a man who's seeking to represent Jesus, who died so others could live. Now, because of this foolish act, people have been killed. So you can see there's a discussion to be had both ways. Again, I will weigh in with my views, but let's go to the phones, beginning with Rashad in Springfield, Virginia. What's your take on this?
Yes, how are you doing, sir? My name is Rashad. I just have 2 points to make. Number one, anyone who would hold the pastor in contempt would have to be thinking that the pastor was a psychic. I mean, how could anyone know this is going to happen? The second point is when the media attention started to rise as what he was going to do about the Quran, he obviously postponed, meaning he didn't, his legitimate attention, he didn't intend for anything to offend anybody. He wanted to keep it quiet. That's my 2 points, sir.
All right. Thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. What do you think about what Rashad said? Do you think you'd have to be a psychic to know that burning of the Quran would provoke this type of response? I want you to hear something for a moment. I just want you to get the Muslim perspective, okay? And Joey, go ahead and play clip number one.
The thing to keep in mind that's very important here is that the Quran to Muslims, it's not the same as the Bible to Christians. The Bible is a book written by men. It's acknowledged by Christians that it is written by men. It's the story of Jesus. But the Quran, if you're a believer, if you're Muslim, the Quran is directly the word of God, not written by man. It's transcribed. It's directly the word of God. That makes it sacred in a way that it's hard to understand if you're not Muslim. So the act of burning a Quran is much more, potentially, much more inflammatory than if you were to burn a Bible.
Yeah. Directly attacking God.
All right. Now, I think that's absolute nonsense in terms of that the Muslims hold to the Quran being the word of God in a different way than followers of Jesus hold to the Bible being the word of God. Yes, we know it was written through men, but we believe it was inspired by God, and we stake our lives on the words that are there. But do you think it would take a psychic to know that if this pastor went ahead and did that? Again, I'm not judging his motives. I'm simply discussing the act. Do you think you'd have to be a psychic to know that lives are going to be taken, that there are going to be riots, and that there's going to be hostility towards America and towards Christianity as a result of it. Jose in D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, how you doing?
Good. What's your take?
Like you were discussing, it is a difficult subject because of that matter. And one thing I see is that these pastors had the guts to do that, and because of the media, that's what the world sees as a big deal. Because you know Muslims are more willing to die for what they believe than us as Christians. You don't find that many Christians who have the guts to represent God, you know, anywhere in the world with the guts that many Muslims do. But in the whole picture, I think it was not a good idea for him to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's my point on that.
Got it. Thank you, Jose. Hey, listen, without question, there are brothers and sisters around the world who right now are risking their lives for their faith. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, search for the word martyr or widow, and listen to my show live from India last year on washing the feet of a martyr's widow. There are people laying down their lives for Jesus, full of boldness, full of conviction, full of commitment. But I would dare say that the spirit of commitment and dedication known to Muslims, radical Muslims around the world, is unknown to many Christians in America. I'm not talking about the violence, the hatred. God forbid we emulate that. God forbid we emulate the anger and the outbursts and the rages. God forbid. That's totally contrary to the spirit of Jesus. But yes, there is a radical commitment that many Muslims have to their God and to their holy book and to their faith that puts to shame the lackadaisical attitude, lackadaisical attitude of many Christians in America. That being said, Jose says overall a foolish thing to do. Let's go to Kim in D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good, thank you.
That's good. I have to agree with the previous caller. I think it was a foolish act. I think if he had really had guts, he would have gone into that country and burned that Quran. that's how I feel.
I'm not laughing. I'm just laughing at the thought. That would take some guts. I mean, if you'd have to have a death wish to do that, I think. Wow.
And the thing is, you know, you see in the news radicalized Muslims who any little thing is going to inflame them to do that act. I think, but to be honest with you, and I know this, you know, maybe you think I'm being a warm and fuzzy Christian, but I think the only way you're going to bring people to Christ is to, you know, you have to love them and do mm-hmm. it. Some people may never accept Christ, and that's on them. But the only way you're going to bring people to Christ is by loving them into Christ. Burning a person's book is only going to make them hate you more.
Hey, I'm just going to jump in, but there's nothing warm and fuzzy about what you said. I think many people resonate with your words. I appreciate it. Hey, friends, if you listen to this broadcast regularly, you hear me often talk about revolution, a Jesus kind of revolution, a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit in which hatred is overcome by love, anger is overcome by kindness, evil is overcome by good. We don't take lies. We lay our lives down to bring change to the world. That's the revolution that we're calling people into, the one that says deny yourself, take up the cross, follow Jesus, the one that says all authority in heaven and earth is given to King Jesus, therefore go and make disciples of the nations. In other words, let's go change the world together. How do we do it? We do it by living out a life that's different. We do it by shining light in dark places. We do it by standing up for truth at any cost. We do it by bringing about change. It can be one life at a time. It can be one community at a time. I believe with all my heart and soul, I believe in revolution, but it's a Jesus kind of revolution. Hey, I've got a special announcement. I want to invite you to become a torchbearer to be part of this revolution, to join with us. Stay tuned, listen in, and we'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am broadcasting live from the WMCA studios in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. What a delight to be with you. Got into New York Friday night, ministered Saturday and Sunday on Long Island. Wednesday and Thursday night, Freeport, Long Island for an Awakening Conference, Saturday night, Sunday morning in Resurrection Church in Brooklyn. Hope to see some of you there. For more info, go to my website, askdrbrown.org. All the meeting info is listed, and I believe we will have a wonderful time together. We are talking about the burning of the Quran by the pastor in Florida, which led to deaths in Afghanistan, riots, murders in Afghanistan. Was this a bold prophetic move? Was this an unwise, foolish act? Let me throw something out for consideration, all right? Sometimes there are prophetic things that God's people are called to do, to stand up for what's right, to dramatize things. Martin Luther King was asked about civil rights movement and why did they do certain things. And part of it was to make a demonstration, to put something in front of the public eye to show the type of treatment people were being subject to, say, to go into a segregated lunch counter and have black Americans sit down where only white Americans were allowed to sit, and they'd get arrested. Sometimes they'd get beaten up. Of course, violence was done to them. They were not doing violence to others, but that was to dramatize things. Sometimes a prophetic word can come forth that smashes idols, that exposes false ideologies. I have no problem whatsoever saying clearly Muhammad was probably the most influential false prophet in world history. And the Quran is a false book. It may have some beauty in it, may have some words of truth in it. Those would come primarily from the scriptures that it borrows from. But the Quran claims to be the final revelation, claims that the Bible got things wrong, that the Bible that we have it today is corrupt, and it got things wrong. And it looks at from Abraham, Moses, Jesus, as if they were all Muslims, all followers of the same faith, and Muhammad then the seal of the prophets. That's blatantly false and has led more than a billion people into deception. I have no problem saying that. On the other hand, if the goal is evangelism, there must be a totally different approach. If the goal is evangelism, then we approach things in a way of great sensitivity, and we always have to be thinking that in the midst of being prophetic, in the midst of dramatizing things, in the midst of acting things out in front of the public or speaking words that expose false ideologies, and I'll talk more about that in the second half of the program, the next 30 minutes. But I want to make clear that our greatest goal is to see Muslims come to Jesus. Our greatest goal is to see them turn from false beliefs and become followers of Jesus. If you missed my show last Thursday where I interviewed a former Muslim from Iran, it's important to hear these things and the principles that he laid out. And I've interacted with friends who are missionaries, workers in Muslim countries, and they would say that acts like this just drive people further away from Jesus and bring a certain caricature. That being said, when General Petraeus, I'm sure a man worthy of respect in many ways and a fine soldier, a fine army man, when he talks about it's wrong to burn the Holy Quran, now don't call it the Holy. You don't have to call it the Holy Quran, sir. With all respect to what you're trying to do, you don't have to call it the Holy Quran, nor should we have any comparison between a pastor burning a Quran and Muslim rioters murdering people, beheading people. Okay? Yeah, my own view is that this was an unwise and foolish act in this particular case for this pastor to burn the Quran. That's my own view, and I'm going to hear from more of you on the phone lines in a moment. So I do say that plainly. But to bow down to Islam in such a way that we make any type of comparison as if the acts were equal, I take real exception to that. All right, back to the phones. And then I want to talk to you about a very interesting area of intolerance I've been running into right here in the States. Matt in Secaucus, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Good. Good, good. Yeah, I think the pastor was foolish, and I think the way that the Muslims reacted were foolish. And I kind of liken this thing, not to put it too lightly, as, you know, people that are at our wedding and then two drunk people get into a fight and ruin it for everybody, you know, over like a football game or something. And I think that we need to look at this in two ways. We need to look at it as God doing something that will bring good out of this. And like you said, if it brings more people to Jesus, then that's the good thing. And we hope that that's what he's doing in this, even though I don't know if any of us can really see what the outcome is going to be. Lord knows he can. And let's just hope that, you know, he brings it to fruition. And we got to praise him for that. But I think also, as people who don't see the end result of things, we're still obligated to act in accordance with, act a certain way in accordance with what God commands to us, and be very careful in our thoughts. I don't know if that creates a paradox or a contradiction. I have issues working that out myself, but I know that that's what Jesus commands me.
I'm sorry. Let me just say this. Sorry to cut you off there. Let me just say this, Matt. God can work through any situation. I understand that. But you're right. Jesus clearly tells us how to live. The Bible clearly talks about the type of conduct that we're to have. It's the meek who inherit the earth. I'm all for being bold, prophetic, but even in that, there is a meekness with which we do it. But thanks for weighing in, Matt. I appreciate it. The fact that God can use a negative situation and turn it around for good does not mean that the situation itself was good. Let's go to James in Landover, Maryland. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Hey, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Great. You said it all, man. You took everything right out of my mouth, actually, because what the Bible does say also is that put your light up under the basket and let it shine on top of the mountaintop, something to that effect. So what I'm saying there is that that's what Christians ought to do. You know, they're supposed to be the chosen one, they're supposed to be the good and all like this and godly and all. But the act throughout history, just about, if you look at Christianity throughout history, it sort of have a taunting, you know, it sort of making Christianity look bad throughout history.
Yeah,
we
got a lot of baggage, and that's why it's important for us to really shine the light clearly. Hey, James, sorry I stole your thunder, but we're in harmony. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. As James said, let your light shine, the light of good deeds, the light of living differently. Okay, a bunch more calls. We'll get you in the next 30 minutes, so stay with us. Again, everyone, you can weigh in on the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Get involved in the discussion there. I just want to give you an update. I want to say as plainly and clearly as I can, I am not comparing gay activists to Muslim radicals who are killing people. Can I say that again? I'm not comparing gay activists to Muslim radicals who are killing people. I am simply against an intolerant, bigoted spirit that will not allow discussion, that restricts freedom of religion. Look, in America, we have freedom of religion for Muslims, for Jews, for Hindus, for Krishna practitioners, for you name it. We have freedom of religion here, so long as we abide by the laws. A freedom of conscience, we have that here in America. That's been something that has been blessed in our country. But I want you to know, there are campuses that will not allow me on to speak. There are Christian groups that are afraid to touch it. Why? Because I want to talk about my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Isn't that amazing? I'll tell you more when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Whoa, something very, very interesting just happened, and I want to enlist everybody's help that's listening, all right? Will you do this? We are talking about the burning of the Quran, but I'm going to take a break from that for one moment and just give you a very interesting update. A gay activist website. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. We will take more calls about the burning of the Quran, 866-348-7884. A gay activist website just posted a link attacking a queer thing happened to America. My book that just before the break, I happened to mention right before the break that there's extreme intolerance being displayed, that extreme bigotry. There are Christian groups who are afraid to even have me come on a college campus, groups who weren't afraid to address abortion. We're running into this in several states now. They will not touch the issue of homosexuality because of the extreme intolerance coming their way the moment it comes up. So here's what I need every one of you to do that's listening, all right? It'll only take you a minute. Gay activists posted blasting my book, blasting a TV appearance I did about it. Suddenly, all these negative reviews are appearing on the website from people who obviously never read the book. All these negative reviews are appearing on Amazon.com from people who obviously haven't read the book, smashing it, bashing it. Hey, let someone read it and then take issue with it. So here's what I need you to do. Every one of you, as soon as you get a moment, I need you to go to Amazon.com. All right, if you haven't ordered your copy yet of A Queer Thing Happened to America, order it. Trust me, you will not regret it. Any one chapter of the book is worth the price of that book, and it will impact you and stir you and be incredibly eye-opening. You'll find out why people like me are getting called Hitler, jihadist, intolerant, bigoted, hatred for lovingly saying, you know, I take issue with the goals of gay activism. I care about you as a person. I'll stand up for your rights as an individual, but I take issue with gay activism. Go to Amazon.com. If you haven't ordered your book yet, go ahead and do that. All right, now, next thing. Weigh in on the reviews, the positive reviews of people that read the book. You can just check off that you agree, that you like that, you find it helpful. The negative reviews of people who haven't read it, okay, unless you happen to agree with the negative reviews, check those off as unhelpful. Trust me, it makes a difference. Take a minute. Everyone that can go online, go to Amazon.com, Queer Thing Happened to America. Now, next thing, those that want to take this a little further, there are bookstores that will not carry this book. There are bookstore chains that will not carry this book. There are libraries that will not carry this book. And we have a place on our website just devoted to this book, aqueerthing.com, where you can go there. There's a link called Library Tracker. So that's your next assignment. Go to your local library and look and see what gay and lesbian titles they have. And you'll probably be surprised by how much is there. Go to your local bookstore. Obviously, a Christian bookstore is not going to have these. Go to your local secular bookstore or book chain. First, look at the pro-gay, pro-lesbian types of books that they have. And then ask them, hey, will you carry this book? It's been in the top 100 on gay and lesbian best-selling titles since the day it came out. It's been as high as number one gay and lesbian nonfiction on Amazon. Will you carry this? And document for us what the response is, and then shoot us a note at the website. We're going to put this information up. You want to go a step further? Very politely, very nicely ask about these things, but go in with your cell phone, have somebody with you, and just videotape it or audiotape it, the interaction, if the bookstore tells you or the library tells you why they won't carry the book. We are going to expose intolerance and bigotry. We are going to expose hate that comes in the name of love, because truth will triumph. I believe in going against the grain. I believe in going against the culture when the culture is going against God's way, but there's a way to do it. There's a Jesus way to do it that brings about positive change. So first thing, go to Amazon.com, order a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America if you haven't. That's the most effective thing to do. And then weigh in on the reviews. Let's start to set the record right. We come back to the burning of the Quran. We'll take your calls. Thanks for being with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we have been talking about the burning of the Quran in Florida and the deaths that it led to in Afghanistan. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Joey, let's play clip number three. The pastor is asked how he felt about these attacks. Was he responsible or not?
But how do you feel about the fact that at least 8 international personnel working for the UN have been killed as a result of anger sparked by an act that you encouraged?
How do we feel? Of course, we feel terrible. We feel absolutely, there are no words to describe that. I mean, human lives have been lost, people have been killed, have been murdered. Of course, that is beyond tragical. But I think that we definitely have to call these people to accountability.
Do you feel responsible?
As an excuse. Excuse me?
Do you feel responsible?
We are absolutely not responsible. No, we are not responsible for their actions. That is an excuse. If they did not use the Quran burning as an excuse, they would have a different excuse. When they flew the planes into the buildings on 9/11, they also probably had an excuse. They use our government as an excuse because we are in Afghanistan, because we are in the Middle East. They use any excuse that they desire to use.
All right, that's the pastor's take. He's grieved over the loss of life, but does not feel responsible, feels he did the right thing. I would expect, even before doing the show, that most of you would disagree with what the pastor did, but some would agree with it. So I want to give a little space to those who agree with what the pastor did, and then I'll hear more from those who disagree. And for those who missed, as I've weighed in with my own perspective earlier in the show, I will reiterate my own thoughts. First, Donna in Germantown, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you. I think that the act, the specific act of burning the Quran as he did, was spot on and precisely and exquisitely correct and godly and righteous. However, having said that,
uh-huh,
I find myself sad inside to be siding with this pastor, this particular pastor, in any other way, shape, or form. I so violently disagree with his tactics in many other areas that he executes with the gay agenda. I think to hate the evil of homosexuality, great. But to hate the person and say God hates you as he does in other areas is not godly. So we don't get to pick and choose, unfortunately, in this day and age, a whole agenda of what we can agree with a person. But the specific act of burning that Quran, I believe, was a righteous act. And if, big if, he did that, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, I believe the Word of God is clear that that will be a righteous act someday, and that will be rewarded.
All right, Donna, thank you for weighing in loudly and clearly. I appreciate that. Some of you may want to take issue with that call, 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, let's go to Barbara in Harlem. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you this afternoon?
I am blessed by the Lord. Thank you.
Thank God. Thank God. Well, your conversation, this is very interesting. I just believe that he, number one, has a constitutional right to do it. Now, whether or not it was that wise to do it, I don't know. But I know one thing, that those people who are radical do not need the burning of the Quran to enact violent acts. No one burned the Quran when they beheaded Danny Pearl or any of the others. I applaud the pastor if he is informing his congregation about the dangerous words that are within the Quran that specifically target infidels, and how Allah is so pleased with it when they hurt an infidel or kill an infidel. So I hope he's educating his congregation, because too many Christians don't know the difference between Allah and the God that we serve.
All right, so people have been getting killed, beheaded by Muslims without anyone burning the Quran.
From a comic strip, from anything. And they're bred to kill people who do not worship. Because in their Quran, and I forgot if it's Surah 4 or Surah 9, because I do have one. And it clearly says that no one has a right to worship anyone other than Allah.
Right.
And people need to be informed that this is a 7th century. Muhammad came in the 7th century with this Quran, and he was an epileptic, and he was illiterate. So when the Muslims attacked the Bible, we have historical evidence to prove that this is right, and our word was breathed out. But these people are bred to hate, and to take over the world by force. We are told to spread the gospel, but not by the sword.
Hey, Barbara, let me ask one quick question. Do you believe that most Muslims around the world are born to hate and bred to hate, or only those that are more radical and take the Quran more literally?
The ones who take it literally.
Got it. All right.
I know some very calm and mild Muslims who, you know, don't, you know, think about committing, I call it, you know, death by deliberate design.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think on those terms, but they're not fulfilling the Quran, because the Quran is very violent. And you're absolutely right. The Quran says that Jesus, Moses, Abraham were all Muslims. And this is a hybrid of religion. He took some from the Jewish culture, Jewish religion, some from Christianity, and came up with this hybrid religion that's killing people and that spreads hatred all over the world.
All right. Thank you, Barbara, for weighing in. I really appreciate it very much. 866-34-TRUTH. Just a quick perspective to put out, all right? And we want to get you thinking about these issues and seeing both sides. Again, for those that missed my own take on this, I will share it again before the end of the broadcast. We've got to learn to hear from each other, analyze arguments both ways, and think them through in a responsible way before the Lord. After all, we are his ambassadors and representatives here in the world, aren't we? I do remember, as we launched war against the Taliban in Afghanistan, President Bush getting up, as President Obama said, and reiterating that the Quran is a book of peace, Islam is a religion of peace, and Taliban leaders had a news conference in Afghanistan and said, so the President of the United States is going to tell us how to read the Quran? So there is a very fundamentalist literal reading of the Quran that gives birth to hundreds of millions of people wanting to murder infidels and think they are somehow doing God's work. No, there are many, many Muslims who don't feel that way. And our guest, our former Muslim from Iran last week, he said that many Muslims see the violence, the hatred, the anger, and it turns them away from Islam because they are sensitive people themselves. And this is one reason many are coming to faith in Jesus. All right, John in Clouster, Massachusetts, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. First of all, I respect you. You're the prophet of, and you were told this by more important men than I, in 2000, going on. So please don't misunderstand this question. Also, this question, what I'm going to say. Also, please don't misunderstand. There's a lot of area here that you're going to say this is a false analogy. These are three or four different things, but they are not. When we talk about the posting of actual pictures of abortion and little kids crying, that's okay because we're showing what's really going on. When we talk about people in Israel that are being slit in throats, but they're not saved, yet if they hear the gospel, it might touch their heart. Well, okay. And then when we talk about moral and cultural revolution, that's a hard way to go, because here's what I want to say. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter was on the steps of Jerusalem proclaiming the gospel, he was talking to people who killed Christ. And he did mention, and he says, you were the murderers, but that's all, just a quick phrase. And he proclaimed the gospel. I think it's radical to stand on anywhere, and when we're talking to people that do abortion, when we're talking to people that are terrorists, when we're talking to Mormons, if we just preach the gospel, but Christ saved. You are once sinners, but God. And when we just preach that and don't focus on the particulars like an abortionist group or a terrorist group or an Islamic group, and we just preach but God, and don't mention, to the abortionist group, well, you're abortionist and you can do this and you can repent and look at all the babies, look at the pictures we put on the car, and the little kids that are crying, it's okay. Let them understand what's going on. If we zilch that out, if we erase that and just preach the gospel, same thing with the terrorists. Instead of burning the Quran and whatever good reasons there are, and there are, we preach the gospel. But
all right, hey, John, I'm just jumping in because we're up against a break here. I'm going to let your words... No. You had a lot to say. I'm going to let your words stand and let people think about them. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. So John's saying we don't confront sin publicly. we don't expose the evil, we preach Jesus and call people to repent and to come to faith. Is there a way to do both? We'll talk about it. I'll weigh in with my views right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Again, I am in New York all this week ministering on Long Island and Brooklyn, God willing, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. So go to my website, askdrbrown.org. All of you in the greater New York area, see if you can join me at the meetings. If you listen to the broadcast, please come up if the opportunity presents itself and say hello and let me know that you're a listener. I just found out from a dear friend, street preaching, longtime servant of the Lord here in New York, a dear friend that gets my emails that he lives in New York and he didn't know I was on the air. So tell your friends about the broadcast so they can tune in. We're talking about the burning of the Quran in Florida. Let me grab a few more calls. Our friend Jaro in Miami. Every time I see this name, which is every week or two, I forget, is it Jaro or Jiro? So let's see if I get it right this time. Tell me one more time.
Jaro. Actually, it's Jairus from the story of
Jairus. Okay.
Jesus to get...
Yeah.
His child,
got it.
Daughter,
Yair. It's Yair in Hebrew, so I'll remember this. Okay. Go ahead.
Amen.
So what's your take on this, Jaro?
I just think, to be honest with you, in the times we're in, it's a total lack of insensitivity to allow the gospel to take the power over a soul. The Bible says that we should be at peace with all men, if mm-hmm. possible, so that the gospel and the light of Christ could shine. But if I step on your toes or curse you or point a finger at you and belittle you, the chances are the Holy Spirit's not going to work that way. And I think that, you know, it causes the enemies of God to blaspheme, and there's judgment for that. I think what your other caller said touches the point. I think a lot of people in Christianity have lost faith in the power of the gospel. So they have to go to other means. And I think that we are doing things that Paul the Apostle did not address. And he, to be honest, you know and I know that he did address a lot of issues in the scriptures pertaining to the church and so on. And nowhere was there a ministry to go get the gays or lesbians or any other sin that was prevalent in that time. He
right,
did
well, they did,
about
right.
The body.
They did preach repentance consistently.
Oh,
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Jaro. What would happen if a bunch of Muslims got saved and as happened in Acts 19 when people practicing witchcraft and things, they burned their sacred books? What if a bunch of Muslims got saved and decided to burn the Quran to renounce their faith? Would that be okay?
Again, this is a free choice, but I'm talking about Christianity.
No, I'm saying Muslims got saved. I'm just wondering, if Muslims got saved and they said, we are renouncing our false religion, we're renouncing the Quran, would it be all right for Muslims to burn the Quran to renounce it?
Of course, it's the same. It doesn't matter who does it. Inciting a riot will never perform the mercies of God. It says that
I totally agree with the principle that the anger of man does not accomplish God's righteous will. I totally agree
Amen.
That we overcome evil with good. But in Acts, the 19th chapter, they did the people practicing witchcraft and other things, they did burn their books, and because people were getting saved, it did lead to a riot in the city. So riots may happen, but you're saying there's a way we can provoke it. Hey, I'm running short on time. Thanks for calling in, again, being part of the broadcast. All right, God bless you. All right, one last call. I will do the unusual. Some of you that are on hold, if you want to hold on to the next hour, I'll try to get to you early on. Susan in Houston, Texas, I think you want to bring up something a little different. So what's your take on this?
Well, I'm not saying much about burning the Quran, but, so many the Muslims are doing all this terrorist act in America, and, you know, all the Christians here going through the persecution all over the world. Does anybody say anything about it? Does anybody talk about it? Does anybody have any concern? What is going in Africa, in Sudan, and in Saudi Arabia? People cannot even, you know, I am from India. You cannot even take a Bible there. They tear it, put it in the trash, and they spit on it. And the people who are interviewing these Muslims, they need to know the Bible. He's saying that the Bible is not like a Christian Bible, and the Quran is, you know, the way the Muslim Muhammad lived, you know, ever since 9/11, I read so many books. I know all about the Muslim and their faith. I go to a Pentecostal church. I am a strong believer in Christ, you know, and I give my life for my God, you know, but I cannot bear the thought of, you know, what this. You know, why don't you all call the American people who love this country, who care about this country, who care about Jesus, get in the street. You know, I'm not saying that violence or anything. Shake this country. Let the UN or American president or do something about it. What is Israelites going through? You know, I mean, ever since 9/11, when I see a Muslim, my blood boils. You know, if we go like this, they're going to take over this country. What is going to happen to this country? What is happening in... That doesn't mean... Christians, Susan, smart like a snake.
Let me just jump in here because we're short on time. Thanks for weighing in. There's no question that there's tremendous persecution of brothers and sisters around the world. There's no question that people that we know, people that we love, are being killed for their faith in Jesus, and the media hardly reports on it. What happened in Orissa, India, in recent years? Absolute atrocities. We have friends closely involved with that in India. Very, very little media reporting, and we do tend to hear things in a very imbalanced way. And it's important for the church to know what's happening about persecuted brothers and sisters. That's why it's something that we bring up somewhat frequently on the broadcast. Again, go to AskDrBrown.org, do a search for the word widow or martyr, and then listen to my radio show from India last year, Washing the Feet of a Martyr's Widow. It will be one of the most stirring things you listen to free online. Let me give you my thoughts about Quran, burning of the Quran, and then let me enlist you to action. My thoughts are these. I'm not judging the motivation of the pastor. I'm simply saying that it was an unwise act. I'm all for being bold. I'm all for speaking the truth. I'm all for exposing false ideologies. I will flatly say Muhammad was a false prophet that has brought more than a billion people into deception. And the Quran, with whatever beauty it may have and whatever truth it may have, is a misleading book that is taking people away from God, away from truth, not towards it. And we need to have pity for the Muslim world. Many radical people raised with this, that's all they see and know. We need to have our blood boiling with love and compassion for them. But overall, I would say this was an unwise, foolish provocation that distances people from the gospel and is costly in terms of many lives. Before I give you my bottom line, friends, can we enlist you? If you believe in what we're doing, would you stand with us and become a torchbearer? Everyone that supports the ministry with $25 a month, which goes exclusively to help us get this broadcast out on the air and bring it right to you right now. We send you a new CD message every month. You get a 15% discount on all online orders of any size and free access to all of our online classes. So within weeks, it can actually pay for itself in the entire year. More importantly, you're helping us reach many people. Would you stand with us and become a torchbearer? Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, truth will triumph. Bathe with love. Bathe with the blood of Jesus. Let us display a different spirit to the world and let us be unashamed. A pastor in Florida finds the Quran guilty and burns it. As a result, more than 20 people are dead in Afghanistan. Was this a bold prophetic act or an unwise, foolish move? We'll take it up today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, most of you have heard the story by now. A Quran is burned by a pastor with a small congregation in Florida. They try it. They find it guilty. They decide to burn it. Doesn't get as much media attention as his actions last year where he was going to do it and then postponed it. The president even asked him not to do it. As a result, though, riots in Afghanistan, over 20 people killed thus far, almost a dozen UN workers killed, Muslims killed in the riots. Was this pastor finally saying, I will not bow down to the spirit of Islam. I will not bow down to this subservient thing that in America we have to be so politically correct and we can't say anything wrong about the Quran or Islam. And we have to say that Islam is the original religion of peace and we can't use the word terrorists anymore because we don't want to offend anyone. Was this pastor bold enough to say, I don't care. I'm going to stand up for what's right, and I'm going to expose this false book that has led more than a billion people into deception? Or was this contrary to the spirit of Jesus, who died and gave his life and didn't take other lives? Is this contrary to the mentality of the New Testament that says, be at peace with all men? Is this contrary to the mentality that says, don't put a stumbling block before other people? Does this make the gospel look bad? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. On Facebook, askdrbrown.org. I've got some amazing updates to share with you about intolerance and bigotry coming directly my way. I'll share that with you a little later in the broadcast. But before we get into the burning of the Quran, there is a show on TV that I've never seen. I don't have a TV to watch it anyhow. And if I had one, I wouldn't watch it. Was it Jersey Shore? I hope I'm getting this info right. I am proud to be ignorant of this, all right? However strange that sounds. So I guess one of the more notorious party people on it is Snooki. Or am I mixing shows? I don't know. Whoever Snooki is, she's pretty notorious as a party hard girl. She recently spoke at Rutgers University and was paid over $32,000 to do so. She talked, had two Q&A sessions, and some parents are outraged. The funds came from student funds, not from tuition, so it's up to them to bring in whoever they want. Some said it's not right. She got $10,000 more than a Nobel Prize winner. How could that be? But what's striking me as interesting is some parents saying she's a bad role model. We don't want a role model like that for our kids. Well, certainly I agree. But what do you think they're getting exposed to in campus life? What do you think they're getting exposed to in terms of ideologies from some of the professors? What do you think they're being exposed to by the carnal partying atmosphere that is often very prevalent in the midst of hard work and study? There is a lot of partying going on, people sleeping around left and right, people losing their virginity that were able to keep it up until then, drug use, drinking on the weekends, so on and so forth. And then again, a very liberal, often very loose ideology by many of the professors. So for parents who are concerned, I agree. I think it's stupid. I think it's outrageous that she spoke there. But is she doing any more damage than the atmosphere itself? Or is she part of the atmosphere, one who helps create the atmosphere or feeds into that atmosphere? And is what she said in a special lecture any worse than what many of the college professors are saying week in, week out to the kids you send there? No reflection on Rutgers. I'm just talking about general secular campuses. All right, we'll be back with your take on the burning of the Quran in Florida.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, which means we are radically changed by Jesus and we go out and radically change our world. Listen, when I read the words of General Petraeus, a man that we respect for his military service and work, but that doesn't mean I agree with everything he says. When General Petraeus talks about how wrong it was to burn the Holy Quran, I still have to ask, why is he, an American general, calling this the Holy Quran? Why can't he just call it the Quran? I know what he's trying to do, but does he believe it's a holy book? Is he speaking for America in calling it a holy book? When a pastor burns it, weren't the children of Israel called to burn and destroy the idols? In Acts 19, when the people practicing sorcery, witchcraft, magic, when they got saved, they burned their holy scrolls at great cost. Well, here's a pastor acting out something prophetically. Or are there bigger issues? Sure, we have this political correctness towards Islam. Sure, we're afraid to speak out against it. Sure, we don't want there to be a violent uprising or attacks against us because of our stance. Yet, isn't the goal to win people to Jesus? Isn't the goal the gospel? Isn't the goal ultimately to change hearts? Isn't the greatest goal seeing Muslims saved? So, unwise, foolish act, or bold prophetic move? 866-34-TRUTH. I'll weigh in with my own views and tell you a story of what happened to me preaching in India one time. Jose in Queens, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you, Jose.
Okay, I'm pulling over right now. I'm in my car. Let me pick up the phone.
All right, go for it. Don't get a ticket or anything, man.
No problem. I pulled over. God bless. I actually believe that there's no revelation like they used to be in the Bible. I think the canon is closed. Many times we do see a God who revealed something and it was of a violent nature. I don't see that in the New Testament. I'm trying to imagine Paul in the city where there were all the altars, knocking over all the altars. That's not what he was called to do. I'm looking at the Holy Spirit as he led the believers in the New Testament, after Christ came, what they did was of peace. What you cited before in the Bible of those people destroying the property that they had, that was them destroying property they had, not someone trying to convert them to Christianity, destroying their property. So I don't believe this was of God at all. I think he is a God of peace right now. Can he reveal something of a violent nature? Well, in the end times, that is yet, that remains to be seen. But for now, the way the gospel is going forward, I don't believe that's of God.
All right, so you're saying we have to base everything on what's written in Scripture, and if someone claims that God spoke to them to do something, or if they just act out in such a way that's contrary to that New Testament revelation, we don't follow it. So your bottom line is, I appreciate the principles you're giving and the examples you're citing. The bottom line for you is that the burning of the Quran is an act of violence, and would therefore be contrary to the spirit of Jesus and the way we're called to walk?
Yes, I believe so.
Got it. Hey, Jose, thank you for weighing in. Drive safely, sir.
Bless.
All right. You know, I'm in New York this entire week and hoping to get to each of the different cities where you were listening to the broadcast of the Line of Fire. We're making plans to be in your different cities in the months to come. And it's funny. I'm driving out to Long Island Saturday morning to speak at a Messianic Jewish congregation Saturday morning, and I get stuck in traffic. I'm driving out Sunday afternoon for a late afternoon service in the North Shore of Long Island. Sunday afternoon, and I get stuck in traffic. So that's all of you that are about to get into traffic. Hey, Atlanta, you know about traffic there. Don't you? Just enjoy the broadcast. Sit back. You get to take in more of the broadcast and get to weigh in as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me tell you about something happened to me while I was preaching in India one time. We had a very intense schedule. I was there for 1 month. The first few times I went for 3 weeks, then a month. And then after that, had to shorten the trips after, I guess, about the first four trips. And I was there for a month. We went into different cities, and we went into this one place called Karamchetu in the state of Andhra Pradesh. And it was a high caste village, very, very radically Hindu in terms of many of the people in that community. And some years earlier, there had been a bloodbath. There was a low caste boy that was going to marry a high caste girl, or I forget who was which, but it was high caste, low caste. As a result, the high caste people engaged in a bloody reprisal on the low caste community, and scores of people were killed. And when we went in there, the host that had us stay there, her son was a wealthy movie producer, and they hosted us in her house that he had built for her, a few of us staying in the house. She took us aside and through the translator said to me, look, whatever you say, don't mention murder because of the violence in the past. Don't mention idolatry because the people really are very religious, superstitious in their idolatry here. And don't mention adultery because the men are guilty of a lot of adultery. And the pastor in the community there, almost no one knew him, kind of underground, he told us the same things. So we replied, the translator and I both told him the same things. And the translator is a dear friend of mine who's been stoned for preaching the gospel. We said, we will use wisdom, but we have to speak what God wants us to speak. And it was a very difficult atmosphere. They weren't sure if they would even let us out to preach. I mean, the Indian Christian team we were with, because of the potential danger, the riots, and we could get blacklisted and not get back into the country. They weren't afraid of us getting beaten. They were afraid of us getting blacklisted. We couldn't get back in the country and minister there. And it was a very, very tense environment, and they let us out. I had already resigned myself to the fact that although I didn't feel willing to die for those people since I didn't even know them, I felt willing to take a beating for the gospel if that's what it took. And again, I hadn't been beaten for the gospel, but praying, thinking about it, meditating on it, I said, I'm willing. Right after that, we were told, okay, come out and preach. So I come out for this time of prayer. I'm ready. I get out there to preach. And God gives me a message on the Ten Commandments. I kid you not. I preached on the Ten Commandments. Do not worship false idols. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. That's the message I preached. They had shut down the power in the area, but we had our own generator, so we became the only show in town. It was a small meeting for India, maybe 800 people, but it was a good percentage of the village that came, and the whole village could hear us. Everyone there could hear us. Oh, it was a tense atmosphere. I wasn't trying to be silly. I was not trying to be stupid. Half of the message, I showed how they were all guilty. And then I preached Jesus. I preached forgiveness of sins. I preached mercy. I preached that although we had sinned, God loved us so much and sent his son. And we got through the message. And the next night, during the worship, as the worship leader was testifying how he used to be very religious and worship the snake god before he was a believer. Now if a snake came in his room, he would just kill it. He doesn't fear it. Well, the uprising started. They started shouting. We didn't realize this village was very devoted to worship of the snake god. I got up to try to preach, and the Hindu radicals got up there. People started shouting at people. I didn't see it then, but they had knives and razor blades in their hands. They got on the stage. They took the mics from us, and someone yelled out in English, "Leave peacefully!" And the brothers looked at me like, "You better try to get out now." It was a wild scene. I say it to say I understand that there are times for prophetic confrontation. I understand there are times when we speak the truth, even when it could be dangerous, even when it goes against the grain. That was one of a number of situations like that in India. I think it was in 1995 that took place, and it was very intense. But I tell you, our only concern was gospel, 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 gospel. How could we get the message of the gospel to them? And in my preaching, I didn't mention Hinduism, and I didn't name the false gods. I just spoke what the word said and preached Jesus. So I, of all people, would theoretically be sensitive to the idea of someone burning a Quran. I, of all people, would not have an issue with the fact that someone can take a prophetic stand and say, this is a false religion, this is a false prophet, this is a false book claiming to represent God. However, I deeply question whether this particular act was a right thing to do. I believe it did directly lead to the taking of lives. And more importantly, I do believe that it will bring reproach to the gospel. Look, you're not dealing with people thinking about this rationally. You're dealing with people thinking about this in an emotional scene, in a riot, with certainly demonic activity as well. That's why they burned an effigy in one of the cities of President Obama. Yeah, I mean, he's tried to reach out to the Muslim world and even said things that made people wonder, is he actually a Muslim? They burn an effigy of the president, You think, what did he have to do with the burning of the Quran? He asked the pastor not to do it because we're not dealing with rational thinking here. We're dealing with a crowd mentality that could even be fueled by demonic powers as well. Does it make the gospel look bad? I say yes, but I want to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. We come back straight to your calls.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We have been talking today about the burning of the Quran by a pastor in Florida. We are not here to judge his motives. We are not here to judge his motives. And we're not playing God. God told him, God didn't tell him. We are simply evaluating the act because of the repercussions. I believe with all my heart in a Jesus revolution. I believe in all my heart of going against the grain, being counterculture. I believe in all my heart that God changes us and we change our culture through the gospel. I also believe that the ways of Jesus are different than the ways of this world. I repudiate anger, violence, intimidation, and say that we win by serving, by loving, by standing for the truth no matter what. Was this pastor's act right or wrong? 866-34-TRUTH. Flora from Tampa, you were actually there, so please share your perspective about this.
Yes, I was there. I live in Tampa. I was one of the 12 jurors on the panel to hear the case. And when we heard the case after 4 hours, we had 18-year-olds there, white, black, Hispanic, Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal, that no one was the same. And we didn't speak with anyone. We treated it just like a trial. And when we got into the voting room, they took a vote. Let's see where we're at. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was unanimous because of the evidence. And I don't know why everyone is against him. I am a charismatic Catholic. And I know I was sitting at my home about 2 months ago, and God said to me, help that man, because people are going to be against him. The Bible is the bloodiest book I've ever read. I don't understand people saying that God doesn't do this or the Lord doesn't do this. He made the weapon when he and used it, which was a point of contact to have the money.
Flora, hang on, let me just ask you something. And I'm having a little hard time hearing you with your phone connection, so do your best to be speaking right into the phone. Would you have, I fully agree with you that the Quran is a deceptive book, that it claims to speak for God and it doesn't. I fully believe Muhammad is a false prophet who's led more than 1 billion people into deception. And if he did receive revelation, it was demonic. I hold to that. I studied Arabic for 3 years so I could read the Quran in the original language. I have no argument on that. Would you have burned the book if you knew that UN workers would be slaughtered a few days later as a result of that?
That is just the point. Yes, because you have to do what God says. You have to take a stand. And that is not the reason those people were killed. They were looking for any excuse to kill us. They burn our Bibles, they burn our flags.
Well, how do you feel? So we fight back the same way they burn our Bibles, we burn their Quran. You think that's the same?
It was not fighting back. If you had been there, you could have seen.
No. But how do you feel when they burn our Bibles?
I don't like it. Not at all. But I'm not going to go out and kill.
All right, but isn't that a wrong spirit that causes them to burn our Bibles? Isn't that different than the spirit of Jesus?
No, not at all. Because there comes a time and point. God, the Lord says, turn the other cheek, but he didn't say forever. That's what people don't understand about the Bible. There's a time and a place for everything, and the Holy Spirit and God and the Lord is our instructor. And when it is time for us to move, if you'll know, there are spaces in between the Bible and between words, and there are no words there. That is for the voice of God to instruct people. We need to wake up.
All right. Hey, Flora, thanks for weighing in. So Flora feels that there are spaces in the words in the Bible. That's where God can speak to us. Listen, friends, I believe God continues to speak in many different ways to his people, but it is not the Bible. It is not the authoritative word for all people. You may be praying about a job and have a sense the Lord wants you to take this job versus that job, or you may feel a calling from the Lord to go preach on the mission field and hear the Lord to do that, but that is not the Bible. And it is the authoritative word that tells us how we are to live. But again, Flora's weighing in. And I'm going to get to as many opposing viewpoints as possible as well, all right? Dale in Greensboro, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you. First of all, I feel for the lady that you were just talking to, because I'm not sure she fully understands what it is you were asking her. And you put it pretty succinctly just moments before you took my call. God has given us his word to direct our lives. God has not told, to the best of my knowledge, any of us to go burn someone else's literature that they consider holy. If we disagree, and I do disagree with the Quran and what it stands for, let me put it this way. Years ago, there was a little band they were selling. What would Jesus do? Jesus would not have done this. He would have spoken out against it, I believe, but he would not have burned the Quran and thus creating a firestorm in people's hearts. Actually, they already are against us. They're already hating us. That's not any way to convince them or get them to come around to our point of view.
So Dale, let me ask this question then, just as I asked the last caller a question to get her to think. The Jesus of the Scriptures is the Jesus who went into the temple and drove out the money changers and overturned the tables, drove out the animals with a whip.
Yeah.
Perhaps that Jesus would burn a Quran.
In my heart, and what the Holy Spirit in me is telling me is, no, he wouldn't have done that. That was the temple, God's house. This is a different thing altogether. You can't convince someone to come around, come on, think like I'm thinking, get with it, and get salvation, or else I'm going to beat your head in. That's not the way to do it. We're to lovingly convince people, and if we can't convince them, if they don't accept what it is that we're trying, the point we're trying to get across to them, I believe it was Paul who said, wipe the dust from their house off of your feet as a testament to them. And I believe Jesus told Peter, we're to forgive 7 times 70, which essentially is all day long. We're
right.
Supposed to want to forgive anyone who has wronged us.
Hey, Dale, I've got to jump in. We've got a break, but thank you, sir, for calling and weighing in. I appreciate it. Hey, here's a question. And Andre in Richmond, you're going to be next on the other side of the break. But here's a question. For those that feel it was right for the pastor to burn the Quran, do you feel in your heart that if you could lay your life down for Muslims to be saved, that you'd be willing to do that? Do you feel that if you could follow the example of Jesus and say, if my laying down my life as a witness, as a testimony, could lead you to faith, I love you enough to do that? Isn't that ultimately a test, a question we need to ask ourselves? Are there people that we oppose we would die for? Just a question to think about.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are focusing today on the burning of the Quran. The pastor in Florida burns the Quran. People are killed in Afghanistan. Did he do something bold and prophetic rather than bowing down to the politically correct spirit of the day? Did he do something unwise and foolish that makes the gospel look bad, that takes lives? 866-34-TRUTH. The discussion on Facebook is taking place right now at AskDrBrown.org. Before I go to the phones and before I get into this, I want to talk to you about some amazing intolerance and bigotry that I encounter, and I want to enlist your help in getting the truth out. All right? Fair enough? You know I believe in moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, Jesus-based, biblically-based, spirit-empowered, love-driven, very different than the spirit of the world. And I am not comparing gay activists to Muslim extremists who killed people. I am saying that there is amazing intolerance and bigotry that we run into. Do you know, friends, for standing up and saying, I love the homosexual community and Jesus died for the homosexual community and I will protect you as human beings and embrace you as human beings but reject your activism and say that your practice is sinful? I've been called Hitler. I've been called jihadist. I've been called intolerant, bigoted, likened to a psychopath. People have posted online the violent things they want to do to me. I documented in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Well, now that the book is out, we've encouraged folks, as you know, to go to Amazon, order a copy, and post a review there. Well, some gay activists found out about the TV interview I did a week ago with my friend Sid Roth. And we're getting now blasted. These reviews are being posted by people who never read the book. The Gay Activist website said, weigh in and start blasting it. That's what it says, tells people to do. So here's what I want to do. I want to enlist your help. All right, here's what you do. First thing, go to Amazon.com. If you're driving, just try to remember this, okay? Go to Amazon.com. Otherwise, just jot this down. If you haven't ordered a copy of the book yet, by all means, get it if you're able to. Any one chapter of the book would be worth the price of the whole book. It will be some of the most eye-opening, life-changing stuff you've ever read. It'll give you a heart for the people we differ with, but it will show you how those who came out of the closet are seeking to put us in the closet. Then go to the reviews and look at them. Those from people who actually read the book are almost universally five-star reviews. Those from people who haven't read the book are bashing me. A religious-based bigotry is still bigotry. Here's another one. Oh, please, Mary, more homophobic trite from a rightist reverend disguised as an academic research. Just look at the chapter titles. We'll tell you all you need to know. Darkies have no souls. The Bible and made-up facts have often been used to persecute cultures. Misinformed propaganda at its worst. I tried to read the first chapter of this book, just couldn't stomach its lies, distortions, and complete fabrications of reality. In other words, I never touched the book. That's what this guy's saying. Another one, same old story. Again, religious zealots consider themselves above honesty, decency, ethical behavior. Another one, I did not purchase this book, but I read an ex-friend's copy. An ex-friend, because once they bought the hateful book, they're not my friend anymore. The book is full of lies, hatred, phobia, ignorance. Now listen, at the same time this nonsense is being posted, let people read the book and take issue, and then we can have a discussion with the facts, with the research in it. Go to Amazon.com. If you haven't gotten the book, get a copy, but then weigh in with the reviews. You can just click that you like or you don't like the reviews. Those reviews of people who actually read the book, if you agree with them, click like. Those reviews from people who are blasting us without reading it, click you don't like. It is saying, hey, those that come to this page are going to be subjected to truth. Here's what's fascinating. We have in four states right now, four states so far, people working with Christian groups on campuses and other groups on college campuses have sought to get me on campus to have a gracious, respectful debate, dialogue, or lecture with an open mic Q&A about any of the subject matter found in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And so far, we have not had one door open. We have not had a Christian group yet say they're willing to have me and to have a debate, or if they have found someone willing to have a debate. And I've had debates and done outreach lectures, Oxford University, Hebrew University in Jerusalem, USC, Yale, Columbia, and other places. Friends, we are up against some intolerance. Let's expose it with the truth. Back with your calls about the burning of the Quran.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The pastor in Florida who burned the Quran said he's willing to die for his beliefs. I've challenged listeners, if you agree with him, you should be willing to die for the people you oppose. The first half hour, I mentioned preaching in India once, and I said, okay, I don't even know these people. I'm not ready to die for them, but I'll take a beating for the gospel. And almost a riot broke out as a result of the message and the testimony that night, and meetings were shut down. But it is written on my heart as a follower of Jesus that for sure I have to be willing to lay my life down for a dying world. I have to be willing to lay my life down for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If I was going to be reaching out to Muslims, I would have to be willing to lay my life down for them. Pastor Terry Jones says he's willing to die for his beliefs, but he feels that he is not responsible for the deaths of people in Afghanistan. Listen to these comments, audio clip number 3.
But how do you feel about the fact that at least 8 international personnel working for the UN have been killed as a result of anger sparked by an act that you encouraged?
How do we feel? Of course, we feel terrible. We feel absolutely, there are no words to describe that. I mean, human lives have been lost. People have been killed, have been murdered. Of course, that is beyond tragical. But I think we definitely have to call these people to accountability.
Do you feel responsible?
As an excuse. Excuse me?
Do you feel responsible?
We are absolutely not responsible. No, we are not responsible for their actions. That is an excuse. If they did not use the Quran burning as an excuse, they would have a different excuse. When they flew the planes into the buildings on 9/11, they also probably had an excuse. They use our government as an excuse because we are in Afghanistan, because we are in the Middle East. They use any excuse that they desire to use.
All right. Do you agree with those comments? Would you feel responsible if you did this and the riots broke out? Or is this going to happen anyway? People are getting beheaded by Muslim fanatics anyway. Andre in Richmond, Virginia, thanks for holding. What's your take, sir?
Dr. Brown, I think the whole focus is a distraction from the reality that this is a growing epidemic that has to be brought under control. I don't condone the burning of the Quran at all. Neither do I condone the bombing of an abortion clinic. But I think these are distractions from the reality that the UN and the U.S. leftist agenda is to bring us under the rule of Islamic tolerism and Sharia infiltration to the point where we are silenced, not to be able to express ourselves on any level. Now, what this gentleman did, if he had did it wrong, deal with him based on that, but it in no way incited what was already happening in the Middle East. We are in the Middle East right now fighting wars where none of the Islamic regime who accepted us to go to Libya are involved in any of the fighting. They're doing all of this outside of what they are looking at. And I just wanted to bring you to a scripture, Luke 22:36-38. I'd like you to expound on the fact that the callers you had coming in, they use a lot of scripture, but then they use their imagination to make their or their input into scripture to make their decisions as to whether to act or not to act. But if you look at Luke 22:36-38, Jesus says, but now he who has the money bag, let him take it, and likewise the knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him take his garment and buy one. And in the context of that, the Lord said, my peace I leave with you, not the world's peace do I leave, but my peace. Now, we aren't to go out and kill for the sake of the gospel, but we have to defend ourselves from the onslaught of those who are against the gospel of Jesus Christ.
If someone smacks
your mother in the head, do you just go home and tell your mother to pray that they never smack her in the head again?
All right, Andre, you actually raise a very interesting issue. Tomorrow, on tomorrow's broadcast, I'm going to be taking up some of the difficult sayings of Jesus, including, if someone smites you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Does that mean we can't use self-defense? So tell you what. Joey, make a note of this. In the second half hour of the broadcast, between 3:30 and 4 Eastern Standard tomorrow, that's when I'm going to take up those verses and give you my comments on the verses in Luke, all right? I'm glad you raised them. They are certainly relevant, and we will talk about them. Thanks for weighing in, sir. I appreciate it. In Bradenton, Florida, Rika, I understand you're an Israeli, so what's your take on all this?
Shalom. Yes, I am Israeli, but I am also proud to be an American, and I am a believer of Yeshua the Messiah, which Christians call him Jesus. You know, we can play the devil advocate on that. When you'll hear people who will be with this pastor who burned the Quran, you can start seeing points that it was okay. When you are actually on the other side of the fence, you will say, no, it is wrong. We can sit there all day long, 24 hours, 365 days of the year, and just debate that, and it will be like a ping-pong match. However, as an Israeli, growing up in Israel, you know, people know that it's very hard, the life over there, and dealing with the mentality, and the West doesn't understand the Eastern mentality. They think they do. But unless you are really involved, like you or people in who travel there, will have a little bit of that flavor of understanding, maybe. And you are dealing completely. It's not only a religion. People must understand Islam is not a religion. It is a lifestyle, involved politics, religion, and everything around it. Now, as an Israeli, I will think twice would I want to sit with them and try to discuss with them anything, because they are not rational, and you pointed out in the beginning of your program. But I'm not anymore representing myself as an Israeli. I am walking in the light of Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And Yeshua, the Messiah, was very compassionate, very loving. Now, your question earlier was, would I lay my life for a Muslim? Well, my question to you will be, why would I want to lay my life for him? For what? If I know then he will come, that will give him salvation, I will absolutely do that. As mm-hmm. I'm a Jewish, because I'm not looking anymore. I died in my flesh, to yes. my flesh, what I want. I am must. I cannot just be lukewarm, you know. I must say, if I believe this is what Yeshua did for me, and this is what he wants, this is what I need to do. I know where I'm going to end up. I'm going to end up in heaven with the Lord. So my flesh, it's irrelevant. I cannot take up on myself and fight every warfare out there. Yes. I need to sit and wait for the Lord to speak.
All right, so yeah, let me just jump in. Rika, I appreciate what you're saying, and you have a lot to say. I appreciate that and the passion behind it. I want our listeners, though, to hear those words very carefully, that you as a Jew, as an Israeli, and as a follower of Yeshua, if by laying your life down a Muslim came to salvation, that you would give your life, for their salvation, because you know where you're going and you already died to your own will, to your own life. You're not out just to fight every war and be foolish or put yourself in the path of danger, but just in terms of the gospel mentality, greater love has no one than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. That's the spirit of the gospel. Hey, Rika, thanks for weighing in. Shalom Aleichem, and may the smile of God be upon you. Thanks for calling. All right. Okay, Duncan, hang in there. I'm going to get your call on the other side of the break. Hey, check this out. Just had a professor in Florida, I don't want to say what city yet, who has agreed to have a debate with me in a few weeks on the subject of human rights and homosexuality. And the problem is getting somebody to host it on a college campus, because thus far, and I'm not giving any more details because I don't want to embarrass anybody, thus far, no Christian group has been willing to come forward and do that. Can you believe it? And if anybody wants to know the spirit with which I have a debate, go to AskDrBrown.org and just search for the word Knox, K-N-O-X, my debate with gay activist Harry Knox. Watch the spirit of that. Watch the tone with which we conduct ourselves. Friends, I want to appeal to you, if you're blessed by what we do, we need many of you to come alongside of us and hold up our hands as torchbearers. Together, we can make a difference. Listen to the special announcement.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to thank all of you who have been trying to get through. The phone lines have been very busy all day as we've talked about the burning of the Quran in Florida, a prophetic act of boldness or an unwise, foolish act. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to get to a couple more calls. I want to share my bottom line thoughts with all of you and keep you updated on some important matters as well. Duncan in Atlanta, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, what's going on?
Well, I'm keeping busy and blessed, man. What's your perspective on all this?
Well, I guess the way I look at it is it's kind of like a I believe God's in control, and it's kind of like the guy that murdered the abortion doctor. Okay, he sinned, but ultimately, in a roundabout way, he did God's will. Not that it was legal or right, but I believe because God's in control, God allows things that we don't understand to happen, like planes flying into buildings and tsunamis and everything else that happens in the world. And so I think what it's going to do is it's just going to further along what God's ultimate plan is in the long run.
So you feel, in other words, it will expose the violence of Islam or expose the intolerance of Islam?
Well, I think what it's going to do is I heard back during 9/11 that there were fake videos of Americans killing Muslims and raping Muslim women, and they had guys in American uniforms, and there's all these bogus videos on the internet. So I think what's going to happen is this, over time, will be used as a catalyst to, the conflict with Islam is never going to end. They want worldwide domination, and they're never going to be content just to get along with us. So,
all right. So this further provokes that. Hey, Duncan, I appreciate you weighing in. Thanks for the call, sir. Lots of perspectives to consider. Again, I'll give you my closing thoughts in a moment. Thomas in Orem, Utah, thanks so much for holding, sir. What's your take?
I guess my take is that, I live here in really, really starched Mormon country,
Yes,
and
sir.
We have to take a stand against the Book of Mormon. I believe that God could direct him to do that, but I tell you what, before I would burn the Book of Mormon, I would really have to hear from the Lord and be convinced that's really what he wanted to do. If I thought that really would get the people I'm trying to reach saved and open their eyes, I'd be for doing it, but I don't think it would. I think that would just alienate them and make them mad, I try to show them in love that it's wrong and that it's a book of fairy tales, there's nothing to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's the same case here. I don't know that what he did is actually going to do any good, long run. I don't know that it's going to reach anybody.
Now, Thomas, let me ask you this. If a bunch of Mormons got saved, and then when they came to faith, realized that the Book of Mormon was a deception, and they said, hey, we've got between us 200 copies of the Book of Mormon among the 50 of us who have come to faith, and we are going to bring these together and burn them. Would you have an objection to them doing that, or would it be the same principle that may be sincere for them, but it wouldn't help reach other Muslims? Other Mormons, excuse me. Yeah.
Right. If they did it on their own, I think, if they're friends saw them bring their Book of Mormon and burn them, right? Their fellow, the Mormons that they knew, I think that would be a witness to the rest of the Mormons that, hey, these people are changing. And they saw a changed life in these people afterwards. I think that would be a witness. But someone who's not a Mormon burning the Book of Mormon, I think that would just be an affront.
Got it. All right, so you would make that distinction there, which is important. Thomas, I appreciate it. May you shine brightly for the Lord in the midst of Mormonism in Utah. Jesus died, shed his blood for the Mormon people. Thank you for calling, Thomas. I want to throw out a few thoughts here in the minutes I have as I look at the clock as the second hand continues to race. Number one, we are called to be meek. We are called to be peacemakers. We are called to overcome evil with good, to overcome hatred with love, to feed our enemy if he's hungry, and to give him something to drink if he's thirsty. You find this counsel in passages like Matthew 5 to bless those who persecute, Romans 12, some of this Council Paul lays out, quoting from Proverbs 25. There's a spirit with which we do things, and that spirit always needs to reflect who Jesus is. Now, I'm not saying that the pastor did things in an angry or mean spirit or was yelling or screaming. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying whatever we convey to the world, making a broad statement now, if we do it with anger, if we do it with hatred, we have disqualified ourselves and we have negated the very message that we want to bring. So whoever the person is, if it's someone standing in front of an abortion clinic yelling and screaming in anger, if it's someone standing in front of a mosque yelling and screaming in anger, which probably would not last too long in front of most mosques, whatever it is, if it's someone standing in front of a gay and lesbian community center yelling and screaming in anger, even if the words they're saying are true, they have disqualified themselves in the spirit in which they do it. The anger of man does not accomplish God's righteous will, as it's written in James, Jacob, chapter 1. That being said, there is a place for bold prophetic confrontation. There is a place for speaking the truth and even laying things out in a demonstrable act. The question is, what fruit will it bear? How will it relate to the world's view of Jesus? How will it relate to the gospel message? Will it drive people away? Will it pull them to, will they be driven away by truth or will they be driven away by error? Those are things that we have to consider. Before I give you my bottom line, help us expose intolerance and bigotry and hatred by speaking the truth in love. Pray for us. Join us in prayer. My speaking tour with my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, is called The Campaign for Religious Tolerance and Intellectual Diversity, because I want to expose the intolerance, the bigotry, the hatred, the lack of diversity, the exclusivity that exists among gay activists that claim that they are just about human rights. I want to expose that in the name of Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. We're about doing that and going from city to city by God's grace, seeking to do that very thing. Please go to Amazon.com and weigh in on the reviews there. Weigh in on the reviews. There are many people now, just today, word got out on an activist gay website a couple days ago telling people to go online and blast us. So suddenly people are getting online, writing reviews of a book they never read and in very bigoted terms. So that's fine. I'm used to being opposed. But let it be known, you go to that site on Amazon and people are actually reading the book and interacting. So go to Amazon.com. If you haven't gotten the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, go ahead and do that. And if you haven't posted a review, do so once you get the book. Interact with the reviews that are there. Those that are negative from people that haven't even read the book, let the folks know how you feel graciously. Make it clear that you don't agree with that. And go to your local bookstore and ask them, hey, are you carrying this book? We'll tell you more about how to do that tomorrow, all right? But I just want to plant that seed in your head as we expose intolerance and bigotry. And consider joining us as a torchbearer. Lots of benefits we extend to you, ways of us saying thank you in tangible ways as you stand with us on a monthly basis and help us speak to more and more people through the airwaves. Here's my bottom line, friends. Let us in everything, in word, in deed, in action, in thought, in attitude, let us represent Jesus. Let us be ambassadors of Jesus. Let us be those who speak the truth in love as we do. Hearts will be changed by the power and life of the Spirit. There will be opposition, but there will be a harvest.